Hello, and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. You all right? Are you in a good mood?
I'm in a fairly good mood, yeah. Nothing's really upset me this week so far, but, you know, it's Monday, so give it a chance.
Have you got a positive outlook on the future, Ben?
Well, you know, I don't really like this time of year where it's dark all early and, yeah, that gets you down a bit, but you try and put a positive spin on it. But for the future, I've got a little holiday booked in July, which I'm looking forward to. So, yeah, I've got things to look forward to. The future's looking okay. It can only get better. It can't get much worse. So, yeah, not too bad.
Well, I mean, it's the thing, right, because there's a lot of shit going on in the world at the moment that's very depressing. And I don't want to bring more bad news to the table, Ben.
Right. But I feel you're going to anyway.
I feel it's my duty to bring this to your attention. Now, as we record today, it is Monday, the 13th of November, 2023.
Yes.
Remember this date, the 13th of November, because we've only got
Remember the 13th of November.
Well, I mean, you won't have to remember it for long, Ben, because here's the bad news. I read a thing today that says the human race is probably going to be wiped out on the 13th of November, 2026.
Oh, well, that's okay. I've still got time for my holiday. That's fine.
Yeah, you're going to get your holiday in. That's next year. That's fine. You're all right. But this is, like, you might think, oh, Trev, like, we've heard this sort of stuff before, you know, old Baba Vanga, the old Asparamancer, all those sort of doomsday merchants using their weird, wacky, spiritual nonsense.
Anyone who's listening to this podcast for the very first time, I should just clue you in. The Asparamancer is someone who predicts the future by tossing asparagus into the air and then reading how it lands.
Yeah, it's scientific.
Of course.
Stuff. And Baba Vanga, she's, I think she's long gone, but I did see the other day already some of her predictions for 2024 were being talked about. I've decided we'll leave that for our traditional New Year programme where we uncover what she's predicted.
Yes, but Baba Vanga is a very dead mystic who seemingly spent her life just predicting the decades and decades ahead of her. Just forever.
She was the Nostradamus of her day.
Can I check? Do we know when Baba's predictions eventually run out?
I don't have that to hand right now, Ben. I mean, I'm assuming she's worked well ahead. You know,
because if the Asparamancer pops her clogs and then Baba's predictions run out, we're snookered for future years.
Well,
of podcasts.
Well, not necessarily, because I'm working on my own predicting way of doing things. I'm working with baked beans. What I'm doing is I'm putting baked beans in the microwave in a pot. And then I heat them up and then I pour them onto a plate. And however they spread, I can read into that. It's early days of this innovative science that I'm at the forefront of. I'm sort of at the vanguard of a new scientific moment in history where baked beans are used to predict the future. So it's early days, but I think it's quite, what I'm doing at the moment is I'm predicting only, you know, hours ahead. So
that's good enough. But we're going to need a name for you, because obviously the Asparamancer, that's asparagus, Asparamancer. So what are you, the Beanamancer? That doesn't quite roll off the tongue, does it?
No. Well, it's got to be, I mean, it's got to be what you're using, isn't it? So it's got to be
it's got to be bean in there somewhere.
Beanamancer, something like that, couldn't you?
We'll have to work on that. Yeah. We'll have to come back to that, I think.
As long as it can be something that, because when I become famous, probably after my own sad demise, because that tends to be what happens, isn't it? Although the Asparamancer is still very much with us, so it might be within my own lifetime, but I expect I'm going to be called to go on like the One Show, This Morning, Sunday Brunch, all those sort of shows. Yep. And I'd like a theme tune that they can play. I'd quite like it to be to the tune of Private Dancer by Tina Turner, because then you've got that answer bit that you can, he's a bean, a manson.
You know, I didn't like it at first, but I'm warming to bean a manson.
Bean a manson. So, I mean, unfortunately, Tina's no longer with us, so I'd have to get a sound alike to sing it.
But he's a bean, a manson for money. I like it.
Using those beans for goods. So. So what, at the moment, as I say, it's early days. What I do is every morning I heat up some baked beans, I pour them on the plate, and I predict how my day is going to be. And I've got to say, the success rate is very good. I normally say it's going to be a shit day, and it generally is.
Yeah, I'm just flashing back now to our 200th episode, where a lot of people basically said we do nothing but talk shit. And I'm
still. You know, I had that feedback as well. It's like, I mean, what do you want from us?
I'm starting to think they're onto something.
I mean, this is where you come for, you know, in-depth political debate. We've all admitted we can't get any celebs on. It's us talking shit or nothing.
We know what we are. We know what we deliver. You don't need to remind us. It's fine.
So what I'm saying is that there's a lot of goofy science out there, but this was a proper scientist, Ben.
Okay.
This was a man. He was an Austrian-American physicist called... I mean, I should have this name if I'm going to go with the baked beans thing, because his name was Heinz von Fuster.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So I should change my name to Heinz, probably. So, although, yeah. although I tend not to buy Heinz. I tend to buy supermarket owns. But, you know, maybe if Heinz want to back me, I very happily change my name to Heinz. Heinz the Bean Mancer. It's Heinz the Bean Mancer!
I don't blame you, by the way, for buying the supermarket beans, because I think the last time we had to buy Heinz baked beans, I think I had to remortgage the house. They're so expensive.
Well, you can't, when you're using them for predicting the future, you know, you can't be going for the big budget stuff.
You can't put a price on that. Heinz means beans. Hey, Heinz, please sponsor us.
So anyway, Heinz von Fuster, right? He's no longer with us. He died in 2002. But he said in the 1960s, he basically predicted what would happen if the rate of human reproduction continued at the rate it was going, right? And he basically said that we would all be squeezed to death, because I think there'd be so many people on the planet. And the date of reckoning that he came up with was November the 13th, 2026.
So, just in case I haven't followed this properly, he's predicting that the world will become so overpopulated.
Yes.
That we will just all be squeezed in some sort of giant crush, human to human.
Yes, I think basically that's what he's saying, Ben. So basically we have 3 years. 3 years from this very day, Ben, according to Dr. Heinze Man.
Beans to his friends, yep.
Saucy is what he was saying. His nickname was, oh, it's here comes Saucy von Forster. What he said. But anyway, we've got 3 years from this very day, Ben, before we're all squeezed to death. Very much like baked beans in a can.
Exactly.
How many beans in a baked bean can? How many beans are there? I was going to go and do the really poor punchline to that joke that we all did in the Cubs. Do you know the punchline to that joke?
Go on, enlighten me.
How many beans in a baked bean can? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. It's a fart gag. It's a beans make your fart gag.
It also doesn't make sense.
Well, when you're in the Cubs, you don't need it to make sense. It's a fart gag. That's
fair
all
enough.
You need, isn't it?
Okay.
I mean, you know,
Australia is still fairly sparsely populated, isn't it? Couldn't we start shipping people back over to Australia like we used to? Or is that no, non-PC anymore?
Well, we've tried sending people to Rwanda, mate. And I mean, look where that's got us into a lot of trouble.
Well, I mean, haven't we just sent Nigel Farage over to Australia for the I'm a Celebrity Jungle thing? Can't we just keep shipping arseholes over to Australia?
Yeah, he can stay there. I mean, yeah, this is all the arseholes. Although I'm not sure there's enough room in Australia for the arseholes that are in the world at the moment. Everywhere you turn, there's a new arsehole. Or arseholes coming back that you thought we'd got rid of. Suddenly returning.
So at a certain point, presumably, the deaths start happening. And that's going to be when we breach the number of too many. So a woman's going to be giving birth in a hospital, and then she gives birth to the baby, and then we all start going, oh, and it's just one too many, and we all start just squeezing and dying. I don't really see it happening.
I think what he was trying to say was that we would be squeezed in, metaphorically squeezed, because there wouldn't be enough food, for example, to keep all of us alive.
You slightly led me down the garden path there, because you gave me very much the impression it was a literal squeeze.
Yeah, but all I'm trying to warn you of here, Ben, all I'm trying to warn you of is that 3 years today may be the day that humanity finally meets its end. And I just want to check that you're prepared for that. I just want to make sure that you've got the message, that you can put into action whatever plans you might want, all your bucket list stuff, start getting them ticked off, you know?
Okay, so if we've got 3 years left to the day, I mean, what do you want to achieve in the next 3 years? So you can think, well, I've been, you know, you'll be, what, 48 by then?
Oh, God, no, I'll be 49 in 3 years.
49.
Time. So I'll be sort of get proper midlife crisis area.
So your life will have been cruelly cut short. So you've got 3 years left on the calendar before you know, we're all going to die due to this either literal or metaphorical squeeze.
Yeah.
So what do you need to achieve in those 3 years to think, well, I made the best of them?
Well, I think perfecting the Beano Mancing would be number one on the list, to really get that perfected, because I'm not far off. I just think maybe I need to spend a bit more time on that. So that would probably be number one. Number two, I think maybe to totally isolate myself from the world, if I could manage that.
Aren't you already doing that? I think I'm the only person you speak to anymore, aren't you?
I mean, you're not far off, but, you know, I think even more so, if I could be even more... I mean, what I'd really like to do is, you know, like these people, you know, Ben Fogel on Channel 5, he goes to meet people who have gone to live off-grid. Now, the only thing about living off-grid is I don't think I'd be very good at that either. I'm not particularly resourceful. I certainly have no skills when it comes to, like, building a shelter, or even if there was a shelter there, maintaining it. Do you know what I mean? So I think I'd struggle with that sort of lifestyle, but it's the result of being away from society that really I would like the noise, the aggression, the nutcases. I mean, I don't know about you, Ben, but I seem to attract all the nutcases.
Oh, I know, so you do.
If I leave the house, it's like there must be some sort of bat signal, like a nut signal that's pointed towards the sky. So they all know to come out. And I don't know, I suspect in this day and age, it's all GPS led. They know exactly where I am because I carry my phone. And they make a beeline for me, or at least my general vicinity. I was out the other day on a bus and there were two lunatics on the bus. I mean, one was obviously at a breaking point. You know, when you hear someone, you just think, you've had a bad day, right?
Yes.
There'd been problems on the buses and it was all being diverted and he'd obviously had enough. But, I mean, I quietly seethe about these things. I'm a seether. I quietly internalise the rage. And I find that people who really vocalise that rage, to me, come across as nutters, because he just kept shouting on the bus, going, thank you, TFL, thank you, another sublime journey, more delays, thank you, Sadiq Khan, and he just kept going, and when he got off of the bus, he seemed to attack the bus with his walking stick. You sort of think, oh, God. And
then I can sympathise. TFL, Transport for London,
yeah,
I think are fundamentally useless. I have tried to appeal to their better sense of judgment in the past to no reward or victory at all. They are absolutely horrendous. However, you're not going to catch me on a bus ranting out loud about it.
No. And then I was sitting on the bus. I was upstairs. All this was going on downstairs. And I was thinking, well, at least there is some distance. I mean, the noise was getting to me, the onslaught to my ears I found offensive. And then the man in front of me just started talking to himself. I thought at one moment he was trying to engage with me because he sort of turned. And I just thought, I'm not engaging. If you are talking to me, I'm not engaging. But he just seemed to be looking out the window going, yeah, there it is. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. No, I'm sure that's where it was. Yeah. I'm thinking, oh, just keep all that internal, mate. Keep all of that to yourself. Even if, like, I talk to myself a lot when I'm at home out loud. I'll freely admit that. I think most people do. But when I'm out and about, I mean, I'm not saying things sometimes don't slip out, but I'm very conscious if I'm on some public transport, mostly to keep all of that inside my head.
Well, I'm really pleased to hear that you've made the conscious decision to stop engaging with these people, because that, in my opinion, and I'm sure I've told you this multiple times in the past, that is your downfall. Mm. Whereas if I walk past a nutter in the street and they're ranting to themselves or they're trying to engage me, I won't even make eye contact, won't break pace. I'll keep walking, go, all right, mate, thanks, see ya, and just keep going. And that's even if I bother speaking to them. You engage with these people. It's like, you're like the, you know that mad old lady in, was it Mary Poppins who fed the birds?
Well, the bird lady?
Yeah, the mad bird lady who sat there whilst all these mad pigeons swarm around her and she just feeds them and feeds them. If you don't engage with these people, they'll tend to trail off and just sort of leave you alone. But you will always engage with these people. Stop feeding the pigeons, Trev.
Well, I did engage with someone the other day. I was
I thought you'd burned. Maybe not.
I was at the bus stop. Well, you know, it's like when there's only two of you at a bus stop and it's fairly late at night, and the woman started talking to me and she kept saying, why is it taking people so fucking long to leave?
Right, now in this exact situation, the correct response is to stare into your phone, don't look up, don't even acknowledge she's spoken, and remain silent.
I was a little bit scared because I was standing not far from her. I thought, I'm within striking distance should she turn.
How old was this lady?
I'd say 50s, probably.
Right, but you felt intimidated. I mean, you're a big dude. You're like 6 foot four, something like that. Yeah, you could take her.
Yeah, but even nutters have extra. There's extra strength within nutters that you have to factor that in. Like,
yeah,
I could to any normal 50-year-old woman. I reckon I could have. if it came to it, if I felt.
There's a quote. I'm going to isolate that audio.
but the nutty 50-year-old, they've got this extra internal strength that you suddenly find yourself on the floor with them on top of you and you're not being able to move. And that's always right. So anyway, I said, oh, I don't, because I thought what she meant was, why, like, I thought, has she been waiting a long time for a bus and therefore she's getting frustrated it's taken her so long to leave? And
just to put you up on that as well, why is it taking everybody so long to leave? Didn't you establish earlier on that you and her were the only ones at the bus stop?
Well, no, that's what
she's trying to get rid of you?
Well, maybe. So anyway, I said, oh, I don't know, have you been waiting long for a bus? She went, no! Why is it taking them all so long to fucking leave? Now, I don't know who she's talking about.
Probably the people that only she can see.
Then luckily the bus came and I got on and she didn't follow. But then a few days later, I'm at the same bus stop, different time of day. And what do I hear? There's many more people around at this stop. But what do I hear? Why is it taking people so long to fucking leave? And I thought, oh God, she's like the bird woman. That's her spot. That's where she sits and shouts this phrase. I thought, I didn't engage on this occasion, but I did. What was quite funny was watching everybody around her move away. But yeah, see, this is the thing, mate. So if I can get myself away so that I don't have to encounter people, really, because most people... This annoyed me.
Go on.
Ben. I was sitting in my car the other day because here's where I win, by the way. This is my victory, my little victory over Sadiq Khan's ULEZ.
Right.
Because I'm not driving the car at the moment because it will cost me, unless I really have to drive it, I'm not driving the car. But when you're not using the cover, you've got to keep it ticking over.
Yes.
So I just go and start the car up for half hour. I'm still polluting, but it's not costing me anything.
What a petty victory.
So I sort of sit there and I basically the half hour I'm sitting in the car and it's ticking over. I'm thinking, yeah, come on, Sadiq, bring it on. Where's your cameras now? Hey?
Yeah. I mean, you're helping to spread carbon monoxide poisoning and asthma attacks, but Sadiq Khan can't touch you.
This may
Shove
well
that
cost
in your pipe and smoke it.
This may well cost an 87-year-old asthmatic her life, but I tell you what, it's not costing me a penny, mate. So I'm sitting in the car, right? And there's a woman on her phone, That's fine. You can be on your phone. But she's walking up and down in the road. And cars are sort of having to stop and get round her. And I'm just saying, get off the fucking road. What's wrong with you, woman?
What was she doing?
Why? Just walking and talking on her phone. And I've noticed this a lot. More and more people down my way are walking in the road. There's two perfectly decent pavements either side of the carriageway. For fuck's sake, stay on it, you fucking morons. Because I was thinking, just run her over. It's a terrible thought to have, isn't it? There was one car that sort of had to slow down behind her. I just thought, oh, do you know what? Just terrible thing to come into your mind at that moment, isn't it? You realise what you might be capable of.
Well, there's only 3 years left, mate, so fuck it. They give you a life sentence. It can't last long, can it?
Luckily, the bean said you're not committing murder today.
Trev, I feel like we're in a bit of a no man's land time of the year. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's the sort of post... Well, if you celebrate Halloween, if you do, it's a sort of lead up to Christmas. You're kind of in that, no man's land, I suppose.
We've had Halloween, and it's not quite ready for Christmas yet. It's too early. There have been some people who've been preparing for Christmas since June, which I find preposterous.
Have you seen any of the Christmas adverts? I noticed very early on after Halloween, the Christmas ad started to appear, but I have so far avoided all of the big ones. Because I find it highly, I'm not a religious person, but I find it highly offensive that the peak of the Christmas excitement is the latest fucking John Lewis ad. Fuck off.
I know, that's quite tragic, isn't it? No, I recently stopped paying for YouTube Premium because I don't really watch terrestrial TV anymore. I basically just watch YouTube and Netflix.
Oh, you're such a millennial, man.
I know, it's the worst thing about me.
But, yeah, I'm not watching normal telly, you know?
I couldn't anymore justify the sort of 17, £18 a month just to get rid of the adverts on YouTube. So I've stopped paying for it. By the way, I am such a spoiled little princess that, honestly, I cannot tolerate YouTube anymore. I had a taste of the life with no adverts, and I got so used to it so quick. And now that the adverts are back, I can't stand it. but yes, long story short.
Do you do a little petty thing like I do? Because I don't mind it when you can skip them within 5 seconds, but some of them don't have that, and they're like a 20-second ad. But I turn the volume off. And I don't look at the screen. It's almost like I really make an effort. It's like, you're not getting me. I don't care what you're advertising. I don't fall for this bullshit.
I admire your level of petulance. I am going to start doing that. Absolutely. But yeah, that was how I discovered that the Christmas adverts are already on. And it's way too early. And for people who start preparing for Christmas in fucking June, by the time the big day rolls around, you must be so sick to the back teeth of it. Yeah. And you can't enjoy it. You've overhyped it way too much.
First of December, you can start.
Then,
get your Christmas shopping started, get your food in, write your cards, do all that from about the first. And then, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time to get your house in order.
If you ever branch out into politics and that becomes one of your official policies that people are forbidden to start getting excited to Christmas until at least December the 1st, you'll have my vote, mate. Absolutely.
I wouldn't allow supermarkets to sell anything Christmassy until the 1st of December. That would be law. I wouldn't allow... I've noticed this on the telly. I mean, I think they started back in about September. Christmas movie channels popping up on Sky. There's like 24 Christmas movies or whatever it's called. That's been there for ages. All the Christmas radio stations have started popping up already. So I'm like, no. When I run in this place, 1st of December, anything before that will be punishable by, what should we say, 20 years in prison and no early release.
Christmas radio stations, you say? What do they do for the other 11 months of the year? Just shut down?
These are just extra ones that pop up, like Magic do one. It's like Magic Christmas. So from about October, they just play Christmas songs. One of the stations I work for, I'm not going to say who, but they've started a Christmas one this year. I think that's started 1st of November, maybe.
I mean, are they hiring? Are they looking for a breakfast team? Can we muscle in here, Trev? I'll pretend to give a shit about Christmas if it gets paid.
No, because I'm not even sure. I think it's just Christmas music back to back. I'm sure Magic might have some of it. Yes. Well, there we go. There's a Christmas song there. And we all love Christmas, don't we? Do you know what I love about Christmas? I love the family coming round and we all have turkey and we love all the cracker jokes. And here's Slade for the 15th fucking thousand time.
I think it's a great Chris Tarrant, by the way. Great.
I think Heart do one. I think Heart Christmas do one. They just play Mariah Carey non-fucking stop. Mariah Carey and Wham.
Can I give you what is no doubt going to be an unpopular opinion? Yeah. But I'm sorry, I'm going to reveal something about myself which is true.
Okay.
The Fairy Tale of New York. I'm over it. If I never hear that song again for the rest of my life, I won't give a shit. I recognise it was a great Christmas song. Mm. It's been way too overplayed. Everybody thinks it's the best Christmas song ever. It isn't. I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear it again. Unpopular opinion. There you go. Wow. I've said it.
Wow.
Come at me.
I mean, it's one of the ones that I will listen to. See, I don't mind. I'll show you again. From about mid-December, I'll very happily hear all the Christmas favourites, your Slade, your Wizard, your Shaking Stevens, your Wham, your Mariah Carey, and your Fairy Tale of New York, right? And I don't even mind, and I'll put this out there, cancel me if you will, I don't mind hearing the original version. With the slightly now offensive words in it. We have that argument every year. The radio says, oh, do we play it? Do we not do it? I'll just fucking play it. Get on with it, for Christ's sake. So I don't mind. I don't mind the crit. But October and November, no. No.
I wasn't planning to have this conversation with you, but money where your mouth is. Best Christmas song ever. Go.
Best Christmas. Well, I mean, it might be. It might be Fairy Tale of New York. Although, can you
be
Wizard?
You're one of those, are you?
Can you beat Wizard? Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.
That's bordering on overplayed, but I can still just about tolerate that one.
That's got to be up there, isn't it? I mean, Slade, Merry Christmas, that's a classic. I mean, all those are classics, aren't they? I mean, I like some of the forgotten songs, like some of the old ones, like Nat King Cole, The Little Boy That Santa Claus Forgot. I mean, I like that one. That's a very sad story. I feel so sorry for that laddie. He hasn't got a daddy. He's the little boy that Santa Claus forgot.
Did Rolf Harris do a version of that?
No, I mean, he had a Christmas number one with two little boys. We can't have that anymore. You can't play that.
Six White Boomers?
Six White Boomers. I mean, that's a crap. You can't have that anymore. You've got to find out by someone else. But it's not quite the same. It's not that. You can't have that anymore. No, you can't. I mean, I do. I'll admit, I'll play that at Christmas to myself. I mean, not publicly.
mine's a controversial choice. Mrs. Go Ben on. Doesn't even agree that mine is a Christmas song.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say.
Go on.
E17, Stay Another Day.
Best Christmas song of all time. And again, yeah. Come at me. I will never not believe that is the greatest Christmas
joyful,
song of all time.
Joyful, festive story of suicide. I mean, it's a dark Christmas in your house, isn't it? Jesus.
And I absolutely snookered her. I flattened her with the argument. She said, it's not a Christmas song.
It's got bells
in it. I said, okay.
It's got bells in it.
I said, no, easier than that. I said, tell me, when else in the calendar year do you hear E17 Stay Another Day?
Yeah, it's December. True. It's true. I mean, it's a great song, and it was a Christmas number one,
you.
Of course. Yeah,
of course.
I mean, it is a classic. There's another great song. Again, you don't really get this played very often. It was called Keeping the Dream Alive. I think they were called Freiheit. And that's a great, I suppose it's sort of Christmassy, but it's not an explicitly Christmas song. But I like I like those sort of songs that you don't hear as much are pretty good.
I've not heard that one, so I'm going to have to seek that one out and have a listen. But I'll tell you another one you don't hear very often, which is a belter.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan, Must Be Santa Claus.
Oh, now I'm not sure I know that one.
It's a tune. If you haven't heard it, seek it out.
Right. See, now we're talking about Christmas songs in fucking November. You've created this. Like, if we were living under my regime, both of us would be in prison right now.
And this long, rambling setup was me getting to the fact that I'm not quite willing to let the spookiness of Halloween go just yet. I'm going to cling on to it.
Right. Sorry, I just need to throw this one in just while I think of it. because I'm not really listening to it now. I'm just thinking of Christmas songs.
We had a bit planned here.
Bruce Springsteen, when Santa Claus is coming to town. I mean, that's a classic, isn't it? I mean, the bit at the end where he's laughing. I mean, brilliant. Brilliant. Anyway, you don't want to give up Halloween yet.
No, I wanted to eke out the spookiness.
Are your gonks still out?
I sent you a picture of my gonks. What did you think?
That sounds awful, doesn't it? Because I didn't. You sent me pictures of your gonks. I didn't want to see them. Now, your gonks were hairier than I imagined.
You sent me back a message which just said spooky. And yeah. I took that to... I mean, I know you can't attribute text to tone, yeah. But I felt you were being sarcastic when
you
said spooky.
Did you read sarcasm into that?
Oh, I did. Did you mean it?
Yeah, of course I meant it, yeah. I mean, I almost sent you a voice message going, oh, spooky. But I thought I'd be pushing it too far. Anyway, you're not ready to give up Halloween.
No, so I thought we could eke out a little bit more of the spookiness of Halloween before we hit the overplayed misery of Christmas.
Okay.
So what I found is I found a choose-your-own-adventure horror story for us to play.
Right. Okay.
So this is basically a story that gives you a paragraph of the plot and then asks you to make a decision, and then the story adapts as per your decision. And for people who may think we're going to be terrible at this, you can win it and you can die
lose. Oh, you can win it. So there is a competitive element to this.
This is winnable depending on the choices you make, right. But it is also very losable. Right. Now, people may think, well, Trev and Ben, you're useless. You're not going to have any chance of this. But I will have those people know, we are very big fans of escape games and we have lost escape games up and down the country. So... But who knows? We've got some experience in our favour. We've learned from our mistakes, I hope.
I recently did an escape room.
I'll just pause to note that I wasn't invited, but go ahead, yes?
Without you. And we won.
You won!
We won. We got out.
Are you suggesting that I'm the dead wood in this duo? I don't like that.
I'm not saying dead wood. I'm just saying not... very helpful. No, I think you and I both are very equal, because I think when we've been to escape rooms and we've not got out, both you and I have been made to look pretty fucking stupid when they come in afterwards and said, how did you not get this? Yeah, fair enough.
So we shall see how well this goes. This is our little horror, make your own, follow your own path, choose your own adventure horror story. Now, can I just get a prediction? Do you think we'll win or do you think we'll be killed off quickly?
No, I'm going to say, let's be positive. Let's be positive. I mean, if I had some beans, I could tell you for sure. But I've not got any to hand at the moment. But no, we're going to win this. We're going to get out. Easy.
Nice. Let's do it. You're walking through the woods at night and everything's pitch black except for the flashlight on your phone. Before you, there's a path that leads you deeper into the woods where your friend's cabin awaits. You've been there before, but never at night time. Keep walking or call your friend.
Ooh.
Interesting. Well, lots of horror tropes here. I mean, will there be signal on the phone?
Well, that's the yes. If you're in the middle of a woods, generally there won't be.
The abyss doesn't always play out well.
No, I mean, I feel at this stage we should be more adventurous and maybe fearless, and we should move forward, walk on, into the woods we go.
So you suspect we might be punished for going for what might be perceived as the safer option?
Yeah, and what, our friend's been there before, was that the gist of it?
But you've been there before, but never at night time.
But my friend's been there. But why would I call my friend? What was
your friend? I mean, it was a paragraph, mate. Is it this hard to follow? It's your friend's cabin. Of course he's been there before. He lives there.
Oh, it's his cabin. Right.
Yes.
So, whether I should phone him and say, how do I get there?
You've been there before, but never at night time. Jesus Christ. Paragraph one and we're fucked. No wonder we can't win escape games.
Let's move on. Let's
keep walking.
Phone him later if necessary.
Right, we're going to keep walking. That's going to change the course of our story, but let's do it. It's like the butterfly effect.
Right.
Right, yeah. You decide to keep walking.
Yeah.
The faster you get to the cabin, the better. As you walk, you listen to the sound of the crickets and the wind rustling through the trees.
Right.
You get to a fork in the path and can't quite remember which way to go. Go right or go left? Now, we haven't got much to go on there, do we, really?
No, I mean...
Because we haven't been there either.
It's a 50-50, this one, isn't it? Left, right. I mean, what feels right to you?
What I'm interpreting in this is that I've got a slight suspicion that, following your last logic of let's not do what might be perceived as the safe thing,
yeah.
I think the suggestion go right might be a sort of subliminal thing that's the right thing
that's
to
the
do.
Right path.
So I say we go left.
Oh, so you want to go left?
Yeah, and flout what might be the... I think we're establishing a pattern of flouting the obvious choice, and I think go right is a subliminal clue that that's the right thing to do, so we should ignore that.
Well, let's go left then.
Are you happy with that? I don't want to force you down this path.
No, let's go. Let's go left.
You decide to go left. You're pretty sure this is the right way, but as you're walking, things are getting less and less familiar. You right there? You sound nervous.
Taking it all in, mate. Taking it all in.
Just when you're about to turn around, you think you hear something following you along the path, so you decide to pick up your speed. The path leads to a clearing, and you see two cabins. One of them is painted baby pink, and the other looks very old and worn. Through the windows of both cabins, you can see light, which means they're both occupied. Maybe one of them has a landline I can use, or at the very least can give me directions, you think. At any rate, you want to get off the path and out of the woods for a bit. Even if the thing following you was just in your imagination, you're still a little spooked. Go to the pink cabin, go to the old cabin.
I mean, again, there's a thing here where you think, well, the old cabin is probably the spookier of the two. A pink cabin sounds very well, almost like the pink windmill. You might think Rod Hull and Emu are living there.
The pink cabin sounds fabulous.
Because, again, like maybe the pink one, it's there. It's slightly warmer in appearance by its very colour. You might think, oh, well, that's a safer bet. But it might be a trap, mightn't it? It might be.
So we're continuing with the logic of go with the creepier option.
Yes, let's go to the old barn. Let's go to the old barn.
We're going to the old cabin. Okay,
old
here
cabin.
We go. I mean, our retention to detail is appalling.
Yeah, well, it's a building of some description.
You decide to knock on the door of the older cabin. There's no answer, so you decide to knock one more time. From the other side of the door, you hear the sound of footsteps and a heavy sigh. An old man in a worn-down flannel answers the door.
In a worn-down flannel? Why is he wearing a flannel?
No, he's not only wearing a flannel. Flannel is like a plaid, like, shirt.
Oh, I reckon he's some old perv, mate.
You reckon he's just got a flannel draped over his erect cock, do you?
Well, I'm not saying he's in any state of excitement, but I'm just saying...
Well, how do you drape a flannel then over yourself?
Well, he might just have it over his shoulder. He might have nothing... He's not saying where the flannel is it? He's just got a worn out old flannel over his shoulder, nothing else. I'm regretting knocking on his door.
Have you not heard the term flannel shirt before?
Well, it didn't say flannel shirt, did it?
You just assumed he had something to wash his face with, draped that he's stark bollock naked with a flannel over his shoulder.
You said he's wearing nothing but an old worn out flannel or something like that.
Right. So, what do you want? He asks.
Oh, you're doing the voices. Okay.
I'm trying. I was hoping I could use your landline. Don't have one. Go away. He says, peeking around the door, suspiciously. You respond, please let me come in, or sorry for bothering you.
I think we leave him. I don't think he's any help to us at all. He's some weird old bloke wearing nothing but a flannel. I think we leave him to his own device. He sounded to me as well. I didn't like the way he sounded. Not welcoming at all.
Was that my voice? Did you not like that? Or
yeah, I mean, considering he was an old man, he was quite butch in many ways.
Oh, should I have aged him a bit? I can try again if you want.
No, too late now.
What do you want? No good? Yeah. No, okay.
Fine. I mean, that makes him sound even more pervy than I had imagined him.
Well, depends where that flannel is, I guess.
Now, can we just move away from this man with a flannel? I've had enough of him.
Now, that's fine. I'm happy to go with you on this, mate. But we are now deviating from our previous plan, which yeah. The creepier, scarier thing to do would have said, please let me come in. But you want to now break away from the plan we've established.
I think, yeah, I'm not happy with this situation. I think we'll see what other options unfold in front of us.
I think we'll live to regret this decision. I'm just putting that on the record. So I would have said, please let me come in. But are saying, we're saying sorry for bothering you, okay?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go in with the old man...
No.
I'll wait outside.
We're saying sorry for bothering you.
Sorry for bothering you.
The grammar's slightly let itself down here. Sorry for bother you, you say. As you, I'm just reading this as it's written.
Okay.
Sorry for bother you, you say, as you step off the porch. You can still feel his eyes on you.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Kid, the old man says.
He's not offering you a flannel, is he?
Looking at you and then up at the sky. It's a full moon tonight.
Oh, God, I told you he was naked. He's not bending over now, is he?
I'd stick to the path if I were you. It's not safe around these parts this time of the month. And with that, he closes the door and locks it behind him.
Good.
You look up and see that he's correct. The moon is...
How have we not noticed a full moon to this point? Full moon's fairly noticeable.
And the full moon might have helped illuminate the path, but obviously not.
But if that's the case, then why is it making you so nervous? Forget this place, you think, and decide to walk back to your car. As you're searching blindly through the woods, you hear a howl, and it sounds alarmingly close. You pick up the pace and hope it's just a fox or a coyote, but by the sound of it, that doesn't seem likely. It sounds big. Suddenly, there's a bad feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you freeze. You look down at your feet, see the path has vanished. You must have accidentally wandered off it while you were in a hurry, and now there's something really big running through the trees, and it sounds like it's fast and coming right towards you.
Oh, Christ.
You realise that running is futile. There are only two options. Hide or fight.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm enjoying this.
How cowardly are we?
Well, we're quite cowardly.
I mean, I've run away from a man with a flannel.
I bet you wish you'd gone inside now.
Shall we fight? Come on.
Really? That seems like a fast way to die against a werewolf.
We don't know if it's a werewolf. We don't know what it is.
No, but that's true.
It could be just a big hedgehog.
Or Sonic running this fast.
It could be. We don't know what it is. Well, I'm thinking of Wind in the Willows. It could be a slightly ill-tempered badger.
All right. I think you're going to get us killed, mate. But if you want to go and fight... We can go with fight.
Yeah, come on. Bring it on. Come on.
We've selected fight.
I've proved myself to be a good fighter in the past.
Stick to your tarot, mate. You Eubanks shit. Right. You find a large branch on the ground and pick it up, wielding it like a sword. You hear the beast getting closer and closer. It bursts through a line of trees and stands before you. A hedgehog. No, but I'm only joking. Almost 2 or 3 feet taller than you, it's on its hind legs, and its face looks almost like a wolf. You wonder what this awful creature could be.
Yeah.
But the full moon high overhead, you think you have a pretty good idea. Werewolf. I told you it was a fucking werewolf. Would you listen to me? No.
I suppose the full moon could have been that was a clue, wasn't it? It was a clue about the sort of beast that might be on the prowl.
And the warning from the flannelled man.
This time of the month, he said, which would obviously relate to the full moon and the werewolf. So the clues were there.
I told you you'd be the death of me, right? It lunges at you, and you swing your branch with everything you've got.
Yeah.
To your surprise, the branch actually hits the creature in its eye, piercing the skin. The werewolf yelps and claws at the hole where its eye used to be, with its tail tucked between its legs. It runs off whimpering.
Oh, I mean, you look at a pathetic fucking werewolf, isn't it, really?
It's not great, is it?
It's been beaten by a stick.
It's been beaten by you with a stick. That's how pathetic it is. You look at the end of your branch and see the werewolf's eye still clinging to the end, and the sight makes you faint. You apathetic. You fall to the forest floor, and darkness takes over. Now, we only have one option here.
Right, what's the... What is it? What have we got to do next?
Wake up.
All right. That's what we do then.
Okay. When you wake up, it's morning, and there are birds singing sweetly in the trees. Oh my God, what a nightmare, you think. But it was just a nightmare. How did you end up in the forest? Maybe you've been sleepwalking. Yes, that has to be it. After dusting yourself off, you walk through the forest to come across your friend's cabin.
Yeah.
You let yourself in,
yeah.
And your friend is in the kitchen cooking breakfast. Where were you last night?
Is he wearing a flannel?
It doesn't specify. Where were you last night? I was worried about you, they say, their back turned as they flip something over on the stove. You're not going to believe this, but I had the strangest dream. You start, but then your friend turns around.
Oh, he's only got one fucking eye, hasn't he?
And you see they have an eye patch on.
Oh,
one
Christ.
Step ahead of the plot, Mr. Smith. Well done.
Well, I mean, you didn't need to think that far. I mean, you might as well have a fucking neon sign saying werewolf. Not the most unpredictable of tales so far, is it?
I've enjoyed this. Don't take the piss.
No, that's very good. Right. It could, I mean, maybe he's not a werewolf. He could just be a pirate.
That'd be a plot twist no one saw coming. On their plate is a raw piece of steak, all red and juicy. Your friend smiles, and their teeth look just a little bit too sharp. It's okay. No hard feelings, they say. And you don't have to be afraid. At least, not right now. The next full moon isn't for another month. And the caption underneath...
Yeah.
Looks like you've survived and learned something new about your friend in the process.
Yeah.
I certainly hope they don't huff and puff and blow your house down. Or worse. Are you brave enough to try again? Why would we try again? We won!
I mean, the thing is, though, if we know that he's a werewolf, shouldn't we just finish him off anyway?
Well, I suppose we're not in imminent danger, so we can just leave and never go back, I suppose.
Who do I warn? I mean, there's a whole moral conundrum that's unfolding in front of me now.
How exactly were you planning on finishing him off, exactly? I mean, do you often go and visit your friends with a revolver and a silver bullet?
But a stick has already caused quite a lot of damage. He's at a stove, there's probably a hot frying pan, I could shove that in his face. I mean, there's a whole host of things I could do just to... I mean, if they even not finish him off, but at least sort of get him to... make him bedbound.
I would like to say... Well done. I mean, for once, we've actually come out victorious.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a few recommendations for you, things to watch and listen to. I've watched a couple of good films.
Oh, yeah?
One on the iPlayer called The Big Sick. It's a romantic comedy based on a true story of a Muslim comic in the States caught up in his comatose ex-girlfriend's family, and then he rebels against his own family. It was one of those that was on BBC Two quite late at night, and it was one of those I just looked at it. I thought, I'll record that, and I'll watch it at some point. And I watched it over the weekend. I really enjoyed it. Some very funny bits in it. It's a really good film, but also quite... Yeah, it's heartwarming. It's a true story. But,
not too mushy for a rom-com, is it?
No, it's not. It's not mushy. No, it's not mushy. I mean, there are some emotional moments. It's bound to be. It's a woman in a coma. But, you know, it's only on the iPlayer for another 24 days as I look at this. So that's
so
on the Monday.
Moving.
So by the time this goes out, 22 days. The clock is ticking, people. Get on with it. And talking of the clock ticking, the other film I eventually got round to watching was Oppenheimer.
Ah, right. This is the guy who... Did he make the nuclear bomb or something?
He was a big player in the Manhattan Project.
Right.
The bombs, yes. And the only thing that put me off is that it's 3 hours.
Oh, that's way too long.
I found about the first hour and a half really quite slow, and I really struggled with it. Once you kind of get to the point where they're testing the bomb, I don't know whether that's just my personality kicks in. It's like, yes, explosions. My righteous, ridiculous child within me. It really picks up after that. But no, a really good film. You're just going to be prepared for a 3-hour epic, and you've got to stick with it. I found the first hour to hour and a half, there was a bit of me thinking, just get on with it. But overall, give it 3.5 stars.
Very good. Very professional of you, Trevor.
And John, who is often in touch with the podcast, he sent us a few recommendations.
Nice.
First of all, on Netflix, a thing called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. It's a Roald Dahl story. Now, I've noticed that on Netflix there's a few Roald Dahl stories. I've started watching it. I haven't quite got to the end of it yet, because I'm not going to lie, I'd watched Oppenheimer and started watching this and I fell asleep. So I don't know whether that's a selling point for this or not, but
good,
it seemed
it?
Very good. And he's also recommended a couple of podcasts. There's the Adrian Mole The Prostate Years,
right,
which is on the BBC Sounds app. It's basically kind of an audio book, and I've started listening to that. It's very, very good. And he's also recommended a podcast called The Padded Cell Podcast. I must confess I haven't listened to this yet. This is his description of it. The podcast is by two scouse dominatrix.
Wow.
But he says it's very entertaining.
Okay.
That might be an acquired taste. Just because, I mean, I can't stand the scouse accent. But, you know, the dominatrix bit.
We'll be in such trouble.
What have you got?
I have a podcast recommendation, and in keeping with the theme of the last couple of weeks, I haven't listened to this yet, but
right.
It's not through my own fault, because it's a new podcast, horror stories told in story form, from Mr. Ballin Studios, or Ballin Studios. There's a new show on his sort of network of podcast now called Run Fool, and there'll be this comes out Wednesday, so there'll be 2 episodes out by now, and it should be good. But I've not been thrilled with everything on Ballin Studios, so I'm kind of rolling the dice blindly recommending this, but I'm pretty sure it should be decent, so give that a try.
Okay, well, there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime, right, Trev and Ben on X, and we'll catch
Twitter.
You again, well, you know, let it go. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.